This morning I tried to teach about this 2x2. That was my theme this morning, was the togetherness and unity, friendship, and how needful it is. I'm going back to there tonight. Hope you don't mind, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to. I want you to go to Proverbs 24, and then we'll go over, if I can find it. Sometimes I study in the wrong Bible or different Bible, and it takes a little reading to find where I'm at. I think it's Proverbs 24. I want you to go to 1 Samuel also, if you will. I'm looking for he that hath friends, Brother Steve, must show himself. What verse is that? Let's see. 1 Samuel chapter number 18. I'll read in first. Beg your pardon? 18:24. Got it backwards. Yeah. I want to read in Proverbs 18:24. By the way, in my notes here, and then we'll go and read. Now listen. Here's what I'm going to preach on. Felt the Lord touch me today in the lesson. The lesson just touched me when I thought about it. And there's a dynamic here, a power that our little church here, there's such potential for this in our little church that I felt God lead me back to it. Because there's a power, and here's what you heard Sister Helen did you hear what she said? Did you hear that one word in there that touched you? What was that one word in her testimony? Lonely. Huh? You know, a friend can help with that. Am I right? That's just one of many, many. My lesson, my preaching tonight is on the ministry of friendship. The ministry of friendship. And here's something about it. Everybody in this church can be involved in this. Everybody. Yeah. Amen? Y'all not enthused about this, and that's okay. But I'm going to talk to you from this scripture. 18, what did you say, 24? Okay. Hang around. I need you, buddy, okay? Says, a man, are you with me, 24? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Sometimes we contribute that verse. I don't know if you got those study Bibles. Some of them will say that friend that sticketh closer than a brother is Christ or God. But really, I don't think that's the context of this scripture. Amen. He that hath friends. Before I get into this, how to be a good friend and the ministry of friendship, I want us to think about tonight on the value of friendship. Amen. And I mentioned to you this morning some scriptures that were pretty prevalent scriptures along this line. Ecclesiastes, where it said two is better than one, for if one falleth, another is there to raise him up. Now, do y'all believe the Bible's true every time? Then this is true, isn't it? Amen. Now you got to stay with me because there's a ministry here that everybody can be involved in. How many thinks that it is a valuable thing to have friends? How many thinks it's a valuable thing to be a friend? Praise God. You know, it is a reciprocating thing. You can't have friends if you're not friendly. Did I just read that to you out of the Bible? And that don't mean, hey, life of the party. I scared you? You didn't mean to. That's not exactly. No, it's not exactly what we're talking about. Amen. But what I want to get to tonight, boy, I hope I don't get too far out here on a limb. But what I want to get to tonight is I think God is calling us to this ministry. And it is a ministry that is in dire need. Now, we got a lot of technology. But I declare, I think Facebook and the internet and chat rooms has killed friendship. Now, I know, I'm not into that. I'm not smart enough to be into that. But I think on that, isn't it friend me? And some of y'all, probably a lot of y'all, are on is that Facebook that says that? And let me ask you, y'all that are on that, everybody that friends you, are they your friends? How about some of them you wouldn't want to be seen in public with? Y'all think, am I right or not? And you know, really, could I say it like this? And you know, you hope people will get with you on it, but you got to tell the truth whether they do or not. But how many knows that our social media has not connected us, really? You ever send a text and you can't send your facial expressions or the tears in your eyes and it really sounds pretty rough? Anybody ever reread one of your text messages and you think, boy, you know, that's a little rough. But you didn't mean it like that. Or you might have wanted, like me, my sarcasm eats out of me. When you put sarcasm in a text message, it sounds like a real smart aleck. You know what I mean? Now listen, you're not going along with me on this too good, but I want to enlighten you on something. You're not going to make great friendships on social media. Matter of fact, there's been little girls that made friendships on social media that ended up molested and buried in a shallow grave. That's not what we're talking about. Amen. You're not with me tonight. That's all right. You just pray for me. If you pray for me, I'll get over the fact that you're not with me. I'll just go ahead and preach to you anyway. But friendship is a great thing. Amen. And it's valuable because of that scripture. And here's what I want you to know. Am I doing okay, really? Here's what I want you to know. Everybody needs somebody. Now, if you get in part in life, and I've been there a time or two, you get there and you get hurt, and you get betrayed, and you say, I don't need nobody. But could I tell you something? That's a little lie you just told. You do need somebody. Now, before I get into this, and I'll be done before you know it, but how many knows God is our friend? Now, this is not my message, but God is our friend. Gave his only son. What greater friend as a man than lay down his life for you? What about a friend called Jesus? Well, I've got God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost is my friend. I don't need anybody else. And we sing that old song, and I love that old song, being talked about, mistreated, used, and abused. Hey, amen. I could have wrote a verse to that. How about you? And we say, I don't need nobody. But really, the truth of it is, God ordained friendship. Are you listening? Am I right or not? I'm saying God ordained it for your good. Now, quote this verse with me if you can. Look it up, Brother Aaron. No, I'm just kidding. Quote this verse with me. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, what? We have fellowship with one another. That's the proof of it, Brother Mark. If we're walking in the light as he's in the light, then we have fellowship, friendship. Amen. Oh, Lordy. So I think I we could quote a few verses here, or you know, the Bible says, forget not thy friends, nor thy father's friends. Amen. Are you bored? You want to stay with me? This is a very important lesson. See, if one falls down, another's there to pick him up. Can I tell you, the chances of you not falling down are very slim. So you're going to need a friend. Are you with me? You know, teenagers, God love their hearts. Look at them over here. Ain't they something? And you know, you go through your teenage years and friendships are important to you. And boy, it's so hard to get somebody that's a true friend because most people are narcissists. Anybody know what a narcissist is? It's somebody that just worries about their own self. How many knows it's not good being friends with a narcissist? Huh? It's all about them. And you know, and if you do something and you're being friends with a narcissist and you make a better grade, they get jealous of you. And how many knows you can't be a friend if you're jealous? We get so detached. Now, can I go back to social media a minute? I made you mad, but not as mad as I intended to. Okay? But can I go back to that just a minute? Will you agree with me that social media and the internet has been a problem for us being closer together? If you don't know that's true, say amen. But I feel like God is calling the church here into this ministry. And I think every one of you are qualified, capable, and called for it. And the need is about as great as I know of in our society. Huh? Little kid I read about that was bullied online. Could I tell you something else? If you're going to be a good friend, you can't be a bully. How many knows that narcissists and bullies don't have a lot of friends? Huh? You ever notice friendships that arise where one person's dominating and self-centered and calls all the shots and the other one just follows along because they're desperate for a friend? They're not really friends. Can you say amen? That's right. Little old girl got bullied online and went out to an old cement place and climbed up the ladder. Jumped off and killed herself. You know what that kid needed? A true blue friend. Amen. Now, in 1 Samuel, I'm not doing very good, am I? Amen. Amen. I'm talking to you. And what I keep coming back to is the dynamic of this. When somebody gets down and out and there's nobody to pick them up and they're cast down or they're frozen, they're cold in this old cold world, and this world is cold. You ever see anybody try to be friends and they constantly are criticizing each other about their looks? Have you got a friend like that? Can I tell you something about them? Don't qualify. They're not a friend. They're an antagonist. I feel some of them are. I've got people in this church who are so warped about this that they actually think that's friendship. To make fun of each other and constantly are talking about their weight and their looks and constantly competing against them and making fun and mocking them if they fail. You're not a friend. You're a fiend. Somebody say that? I'm talking about the Christian friendship. Amnon had a friend. You remember that? Amen. His name was Jonadab, and he talked Amnon into doing something horrible. You ever remember when you was a kid getting in trouble, and my dad would hear about it, and I didn't pray much as a kid except when I got in trouble and dad was on the scene. And then I prayed in Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, and the angels of heaven. It didn't help me. But I got in trouble at school, and I would say, well, my friend, you know, he did it, and he talked me into it. And you've heard the old saying, you know, and he said it over and over, if he jumps off a cliff, are you going to jump off a cliff? Anybody ever hear something like that? Brother Charlie, you've heard that? I can tell you my friend's name, but we're not going to expose everybody here in this service. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to be a good friend, you can't be wicked. Did you hear what I said? If you're here and you want to be involved in this ministry of friendship, you got to be pure. Because if you're not pure, if you're given to anger, if you're dishonest, if you won't keep the laws, if you justify wrongdoing, you're not a friend. You're a bad example. Are y'all with me? I'm just preaching to you what God gave me to preach. Amen. I'm preaching on this ministry of friendship. Hey, let me tell my young folks something one more time here. Do you know in the challenges that you young folks face, amen, and a lot of times, I don't know why teenagers are like this, but they think their parents just dropped out off the banana boat, and they don't know nothing. So sometimes a peer, a true friend can intervene there. Now let me tell you what a true friend does. They don't get with their peers and say, my mother's driving me up the wall. And she says, join the club. That's not a friend. A friend would try to bridge that gap. Huh? You know, help me. Amen. But I'm going to preach it on the ministry of friendship. Amen. Something, you know, in 1 Samuel 18 there. What's that first verse say, Brother Steve? I'm going to talk to you about friendship. Number one, if you're going to be a friend. Now, I want to ask a show of hands right here. Speaking of friends, it's good to have Brittany here tonight. The moment you've been waiting for has happened. You come to hear me preach, right? Okay. Speaking of friendship, let me tell you, first off, I want to show of hands. How many, now listen, if your friendship amounts to just getting someone to admire you, that's not true friendship. Our goal is for their benefit into the presence of the Lord. Can you say amen? Read this right here. Read right here. Listen to this. Man, that is one of the most incredible. You're not helping me. That's one of the most incredible stories. See, David had just killed the giant, right? And so he approached Saul, who was the king of the land, head and shoulders above, and he approached him, and Saul was so helpful and so thankful, and he gave him all these awards, and his son was standing over there, Brother Bob, that really was in line to be the prince of the country. Oh, whoo, somebody say amen. Amen. There's so many emotions and feelings coming. Relationships that people can't hardly get along to save their life. And here's the thing, there's always something wedging, amen, between you and who could be your real true friend, amen. But I'm going to tell you, if your heart's not right, you're not going to be good friend material, amen. For the Bible said the man that would have friends, amen, must show himself friendly, show himself worthy of friendship. Are you listening to me? Come on now. I want a show of hands. How many like to be involved in the ministry of friendship? Then you got to qualify. You can't be a narcissist. You can't be self-centered. You can't be a bully. You can't be unforgiving. You can't be that way. If you're that way, if your friendship is just for you to take advantage of them and use them, you're not a friend at all. preaching to you. Listen to this. Amen. When he saw David. You know, and I'm just thinking, Brother Bob, have you studied this? Were they close to the same age? I mean, in my mind, I'm thinking they probably were. And you know how old David probably was here? He probably wasn't even out of his teens yet. He wasn't even 19. And Jonathan was the same age. And you know how when two boys about the same age, it's usually, cross that line, you know. But these two men, and I want you to notice something. Amen. I want you to notice something about these two men. Now, I'm going to tell you, we're living in a perverted society, but there was nothing perverted about this relationship between Jonathan, amen, and David. Can I tell you that? This old crazy world we live, it has separated us in such weird relationships, amen, that we don't understand what true friendship is. But can I tell you, a friend loveth. Woo! If you can find a true friend, amen, Brother Keith, you've got somebody that'll love you at all times. If you got money in your pocket or if you don't, are you listening to me? Will somebody say amen? Any volunteers to be involved in the friendship ministry? You know, you remember the story Brother Ralph used to tell all the time. It was such a touching story. Two brothers that was in the war many years ago in the same company. I don't think they allow that now. I don't know, do they or not? I don't know. These two brothers was in the same company. One was shot down, and the commanding officer there over the group told no one to approach and left the man dying. Are you listening to me? His brother was in this company. I guess this is a true story, Brother Bob. I don't think it would work in the modern day, but they were on the same battlefield. Brother Ralph's told this so many times. You ever hear him tell it? And he said he defied his orders. The orders were, don't go out there. That's my brother. And so he broke loose and ran to his brother, who was riddled with bullets. And when he got there to his brother, he just picked him up in his arms, and he ran back through the line, dodging the bullets as they scaped his body, got in safe, and his brother was dead in his arms. And the sergeant said, you've got a court martial coming. You risk this whole company for your brother who is dead. And he looked up at this commanding officer, and he said, but you don't understand. He said, when I got to his body, he was alive. And he said, brother, I knew you'd come. That's what a friend is. They stick closer than a brother. When you're down and out, you can count on them. They're constant. They love it all the time. Any volunteers in this fickle, betraying, self-centered world? Anybody here want to volunteer just to simply be a friend to somebody? It won't cost you too much money. It won't, not a whole lot of your time. Just being there for them. Not friending on Facebook, amen, but going on the porch and knocking on the door. Are you listening to me? Where they can see the concern on your face, the tears in your eyes, the concern in your prayer for them. You're not helping me, amen, I will tell you, and I'm going to quit saying that because that don't do any good, but I want to tell you, there's a ministry in this friendship, amen. You look at those disciples when they finally traveled together all that time, amen, and got the Holy Ghost and went to Calvary. They were bound, a band of brothers that turned the world up. Upside down. Are you listening to me? Do you like to be a good friend to somebody? You got to be constant. You can't be wishy-washy. You can't be jealous. You can't be in competition. There's a key word to it. Anybody what knows the word that's on my mind right now? Amen. That is the motivation behind friendship. Does anybody know? It's called love. A friend loveth. At all times, rain or shine. Amen. Can you say amen with me? Is it in that chapter, Brother Steve, or you need to do a, where Jonathan Yeah, start up and read how Jonathan responds. Amen. You've always, my kids growing up, amen, and my dad too, would not tolerate us boys fighting. We did it, but he didn't see, he didn't have tolerate. But I was on his side on that because I was the younger brother. My kids growing up, I didn't let them call each other names. It unnerves me when I hear brothers and sisters, or sisters and sisters, brothers and brothers, call each other stupid, and I hate you. Is this too shallow for you? Because I'm going to tell you, there are going to be troubles enough to spare. And Tom, buddy, amen, if old Gray ever gets in trouble, he needs to be able to count on Tom. Oh, you may rough him up a little bit like your daddy did Isaac. That's what made Isaac the man he is today. I tell you, he never could beat Nathan, but Nathan would lay on like he was going to beat him till the very last second, and then he'd win. And Isaac would go into a whirlwind. Anybody here know what I'm talking about firsthand? Huh? That's made him the man he is today. It may come in handy, this preaching business. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to be there for one another. Read that, Brother Steve. Brother Aaron, stand up here and be David for a minute. Read in that loud voice that when you get anointed. Instantly, he saw the character of this man. He saw the passion, the courage in this man. He could connect with it because he had it in him. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so his heart was knit. It's a heart thing. And his heart was knit. Read, Brother Steve. Listen to this. This won't work, but you know what I mean. He took. Now listen, I want you to know what I want you to know what Jonathan had on. He had on the priestly, and I want you to look at this man. I want you young folks to look at Jonathan just a minute. He took off his royal garments and gladly gave them to this stripling youth from the shepherd. And they were friends for two whole weeks till they got to liking the same girl. Oh, I bounced plumb out of the Bible right there, didn't I? Huh? How long were they friends, Brother Steve? Huh? They were friends till the death of Jonathan and beyond. Read some more. Listen, what else all he gave to him? He took off his garment. I'm not taking my, I didn't know if I ironed my shirt or not. So he puts it on. Are you listening? Even to his sword and his bow. Read on. Okay, buddy. Gotcha. Quiet down. That's right. Now listen. How long did this last? Here's what I'm reaching for. I want you to see this. Saul got to, he hated David. When family comes, if it's a family issue, if you make one a family mad, one Mullins mad, you made them all mad. Don't you quit shaking that head. I caught that. Just kidding. How many knows what I'm talking about? I know blood is thicker than water, but there is one area that outstrips family ties. And it's called friendship. Saul hated David because he was jealous. It didn't breed hatred in. Listen, sometimes a parent will get out with the preacher. He'll preach something that he don't misunderstand or don't want to live, and he gets angry. And so he spews venom out at the kitchen table, and the little kid's listening. A lot of the times, that'll poison them children. But sometimes, that child will realize that connection with the truth and the preacher of the gospel. And instead of devouring that preacher, he'll warn that preacher. I'm not talking about going and saying, "Mommy don't like you." You know, that's not what I'm talking about. But he'll guard his back. Here's what he did. He made up a little plot. And he said, "David, your seat will be empty. And you'll be missed. But I'll meet you in the field." Just ad-libbing. "And if I shoot my arrow beyond you, you'll know it's not safe to come home, and you need to go high." This is Jonathan, the friend. Turn over to 2 Samuel. Did I get all that right there? I believe we did, didn't we? Read it. This is it, listen. Wow. Strengthened his hand in God. How many of y'all know me? How many of y'all know without y'all and my friends and you, my friends, I would not be alive today? Understand that. You may never know Sister Jerry their names. You get the messenger, you'll see my name in there. I've already been mentioned that it's, you know, to me, you know. But it wouldn't be in there. The friends that stood by me aren't in there, but they'll get the reward. Somebody say amen. Amen. Go to 2 Samuel, see if you find, amen, where, amen, David and Jonathan and Saul had died. And here's what David said, amen, about Jonathan. Listen to this. Listen. "And David lamented." He mourned. He wept with this lamentation. My friend. That's my friend. What was it he said about Jonathan? Was it previously where he said he was lovely in his life? And that's my friend. Hear it. That's right. That's right. Isn't that something? Are y'all with me tonight? What about that kind? We don't get that deep, do we? We don't get that faithful. We don't get that loyal. We're not involved in that ministry of friendship. Huh? You know, you can't do all the talking in a friendship. You know, you got to listen sometimes. And you got to be concerned about what they're concerned about. Can you say amen? How many's with me here? One other point, we'll be done. After David had come to the throne and he rode into Hebron, he asked the question, "Is there any of the house of Saul left that I can do a favor for my old buddy, Jonathan?" He had a boy. What was his name? Anybody remember? Say it. He was lame in his feet. The nurse had dropped him. He crippled his feet. He couldn't walk right. There's only one boy left. His name's Mephibosheth. But I'm going to take care of him. I want you to go down to Lodabar, and I want you to go to that dusty, dry place, and I want you to dig out, and I want you to go in there and find this young boy, and I want you to tell him, hey, man, I loved your daddy, boy. He saved my life, and I'm going to save yours. That's a friend. I said, that's a friend. He moved him into his house, put his feet, his lame feet, under the king's table, and he ate there the rest of his life. Are you listening to me? I want to tell you, hey, man, friendship pays off. Hey, man, there's a victory in it. We got to have it. We can't be stuck up. We can't be self-centered. It can't be all about us. We can't have a church when we are disconnected. Amen. We can't just float along on the friends of people out there we don't even know. We've got to nurture a friendship face to face. Can you say amen? Heart to heart, life to life, faith to faith. Come on now. You need to go to church, not just for your sake, but your friends are there. That's it. How many believes in what I said? They asked the young girl in the Song of Solomon what was so special about her boyfriend, and she went on down the list of how good looking he was and how black his hair and white his teeth and all everything, how strong he was and how wonderful he was. And then she couldn't sum it all up. She said, he's altogether lovely. And then she said this, he's my friend. Let's stand. God love you. I want to ask you, are you willing to take off your robe and off your sword, off your buckler? Are you willing to give it to your friend? Are you willing to see him succeed or her succeed as well as yourself? You say, well, I don't know why I don't have no friends. Could I ask you this? You're not a narcissist, are you? You're not a bully, are you? You don't suck up all the air in the conversation, do you? Huh? You are caring for their outcome. You want the best for them, right? Somebody say amen. You're going to stick with them till the end, aren't you? You're going to be a good friend, aren't you? You're going to keep yourself pure so that you're not a bad example, right? Amen. All right. Oh, boy. Focus tonight, as I tried to preach, is our qualification, our qualifying ourself. It's not that the question is not does folks need friends. We know the value of that, don't we? Huh? My message tonight is to us. Do you feel God calling you for this great ministry of friendship? Huh? Man that has friends. A woman that has friends. Praise God. All right, come and sing for us. Would y'all pray with us? Would you pray for an old friend? Come, let's pray.